May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Advent is the night of the Christian year. Advent is the night of the Christian year. Just as our Jewish brothers and sisters begin a new day at sunset, so do Christians begin the church year in the darkening quiet of our ever-deepening winter, hushing our frenzy of life and readying ourselves for Christ. A friend recently told me about tucking her nephew in for bed at night while she was visiting family for the holidays. And like many kids, her nephew tried his best to stall them lights out with questions. Big questions. Questions that couldn't be easily answered before bedtime. But one night in particular, his very genuine question really struck her. How long does night take? He asked. She thought that was a pretty good question. A great question. One maybe she had had as a kid but hadn't thought about for a while. So, how long does night take? If you're sick or in pain, one night may take 100 years. If you're alone and waiting for love, one night takes forever. If you're a child and night seems like a waste of perfectly good playtime, then night stretches on to eternity. If you're a reluctant messiah sweating blood in a garden while the whole city parties, then one night takes terrifyingly long. Advent is our night. It's our night because night is all about waiting. And if we are honest, waiting is often about helplessness. Waiting for dawn or light or hope or love or relief, we are helpless to turn back the darkness or to hurry the coming of the new day. It will come when it comes. All we can do is nothing. All we can do is wait. The helplessness of Advent waiting reminds us that we ourselves are not in charge of the days or the hours or the minutes. And that very helplessness makes every time of waiting, if we can let it be so, if we can let go, it makes every time of waiting in our lives a time of waiting for God. When we are able to let go of the need to do and control and direct, we can find that we are able to be present in that waiting. And every wait can become holy and lovely and sacred, a time of waiting for God. In our gospel reading, Jesus gives us some pretty scary directions and reminders for the waiting. And in Isaiah, the prophet gives us a clue as to what we are waiting for. As I spoke about with kids, the prophet Isaiah gives us a mighty promise about the coming of God, what we cannot fully imagine or comprehend with our human minds. Our world is so filled with war and violence. There are a lot of guns, as Dad pointed out for us. It seems impossible to believe sometimes that there will be a day when we no longer need these weapons, when there will be, not when we won't even need them to protect ourselves. But that is just what the prophet promises. The coming of God means the coming of a day when weapons of war will be turned into tools, tools for growing and tending new life and creating beauty and feeding people. What a glorious day that will be. And what a difficult day to wait for in the meantime. In the gospel, Jesus recalls for us the days of the flood when no one except dear Noah had an idea that the power of God was about to come down in a very powerful way. This example is a startling reminder of the way God arrives sometimes. And of how clueless we are to all the signs around us that he is coming. So Jesus reminds us, keep awake. Keep awake. We do not know when the Son of Man is coming. He just might come for all of us at We may meet him one by one. What is sure for each of us is that the long night will come to a close, and on some unknown day at an unexpected hour, we will be left in the presence of the Almighty. Awake, Jesus says. I once heard the story of a 95-year-old woman who fell on her way to church, fell in the snow. She fell and she couldn't get up, and she could have become angry and frightened and cold, and perhaps she did just a little. She could have just died in despair laying there in the snow without a hand to help. She could have just closed her eyes. But she didn't. Instead, she made snow angels. She filled up her waiting with energy and action, with beauty and warmth. She stayed awake, and it kept her alive. The good news in Jesus' message is that if we wait, while we wait, in the wait, God arrives. The waiting itself becomes the very place where, in fact, we can meet God. In that in-between space between what we hope will be but isn't yet, it is amidst our longing for dawn or light or hope or love or relief that God already has arrived in a million more ways. God comes to us in snow angels and in strangers. Jesus speaks to us through sisters and brothers in need and through refugees searching for home. The Spirit is present in the listening ear, a kind word, a moment of silence and stillness. That is why, during this season, you are invited to wait for worship to begin in quiet. You know, the children's sermon isn't always just for kids. I gave you some clues in there, too, about what you might do with your stillness and silence in the waiting. You're invited to practice waiting for God, listening for God, looking for God, and keeping awake for all those often unnoticed and unannounced little moments when God does arrive. And if that's difficult for you, don't worry. I know you're not the only one. You have me and Gavin in the same camp as you, at least. I'm terrible at waiting, too. I've confessed this in sermons before. And I'm especially terrible at waiting in quiet or waiting when I feel like I can't be productive and I just have to sit there. I hate being put on hold, or sitting in traffic, or waiting in long lines at the store, which is so a hard life this time of year. Nothing in our fast-paced, instant gratification, Google the answer, two-day shipping world is teaching me to have any more patience. That's weird. Yet I think the season of Advent is beginning to teach me that waiting is soul-level work. Waiting is deep work. It is work that happens deep inside us, and something that somehow brings us more fully into relationship with the divine. As we let go of our own sense of times and demands and needs, and instead wait for God's time. Every wait we experience in life is a time to practice waiting for God. In this wait that we're entering all together now, the weight of the season of Advent, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, stay awake, stand up, raise your heads, and look to heaven. Hold that promise of spring warmth in your hearts, even while winter draws our days and our hearts downward. Know that it is in the darkness and in the waiting that God is truly near. Remember that every time of waiting in your own life is of waiting for God. Await for those swords to be beaten into plowshares and for eternal peace. Await for the results of a medical test to come back. Await for the conception of a child or for the maturing of that child. Await for that God has already arrived. How long does night take? Well, when waiting is a holy and sacred thing, filled up with God, it takes just long enough.